Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 6. Dow futures down 46. The NASDAQ futures down 19. We were up yesterday after being down Friday. Actually, we were mixed yesterday. NASDAQ was down because Apple was getting whacked again. Big news yesterday again was the natural gas prices shooting up. I wonder if this is yet another leg of inflation that somebody will come up and explain away as not being real inflation. We do that all the time, Manny. We just, you know, keep doing that. But elections today, and I read, I think we, I wanted to tweet out or whatever, an article yesterday, last week, from one of the guys in the Tribune about how, you know, you really have your solemn duty to go vote, and blah, blah, blah. And by the way, I agree with all that. And he was saying how you really need to vote in this governor's race because, whatever, some kind of bull bleep. And by the way, I like the writer, so I'm not going to be grumpy about it. But, you know, and I'm gonna find a way through this horrible rain today to make it back home to vote. I'm sure you will, too. I do ask myself why. I mean,
do you actually say self when you do it?
You know, I should. Just look in the mirror and say self. What the hell am I doing? I mean, I get it that it's a right that we have that people have died for. If my grandfather heard me saying this, he'd roll over in his grave because he was always first in line. He was an Italian immigrant, and it was something that he really thought was...
He'd have an immigrant. He'd have stones thrown at him now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, but as my uncle, who I was quite the character, because the way we're going to screw up sex. And I think somehow we've... I don't know. I mean, a lot of listeners think I just maybe just getting old and grumpy. But also, I'm seeing things for the way they are, and I really hope that as you go to the polls today, you don't have an election like we do. I went on yesterday and I got our sample ballot, maybe just to aggravate ourselves. Me, our state senator who doesn't come anywhere near our district, she's unopposed. Our state rep, one of them's a he, one's a she. They're both, you know, who knows? They're off in the, their district is 5 miles west of ours in the middle of the hood where the murders are every night. So they can't be doing too good of a job over there. So I don't even know who the hell they are, but I've never heard of them. I've never heard them on TV doing anything positive. God knows what they do, you know, but so I need to vote for them. Why? We've got this governor's election. I can't stand either one of them. What are we doing with two billionaires jousting for the power spot? One guy did a horrible job for 4 years. The other guy won't even tell you what he's going to do other than raise taxes. Neither one of them can figure out how to deal with his pension problem, which is the big fat guy in the room. It's
the only problem.
Yeah, it's the only problem.
It's not literally the only problem, but it's basically the problem.
And we have a guy coming in other than that the other guy was bad. He's, and, you know, you know, the rich guy going in there who did nothing but mess around with his taxes, you know. And I need a Pritzker in that spot. Why? I mean, and so we got that spot. Then we got, there's no senator to vote for. We got Mike Quigley, who's going to win hands down. He got a 99-1 chance to win. He's done nothing for us that I can see. I mean, nothing visible. I mean, what is somebody in the minority party doing in Congress all week? I mean, I'm assuming, I'm hoping that he's on some committee that's writing up some, you know, some huge bill that one of these days we're all going to be proud of. But I don't know. What makes you think they do anything other than raise money? I mean, what does their week look like? I'm getting that jaundiced. What does a representative, especially if you're in the off party, what does your week look like? How much work do you do? What do you do? Do you have any idea? I don't.
Maybe they can send us their calendar.
Well, I'm sure there's all kinds of meetings with people, meeting with constituents. Every time they do, they get a check. It's all about running again. I mean, I get all that part, but I mean, in reality, what exactly do they do? How good is their staff? I mean, where do they get their staff from? Or do they hire just the best looking girls? I mean, I doubt that. But I mean, what do they do? I mean, I know he's on he's on one of the more double secret arms. What is it? The Double Secret Armed Services Committee and so forth. So I think he's fairly well thought of, but I don't know. What do I think Danny Davis, our old guy, what do I think Danny Davis does all day? I used to get a letter from the guy once every 6 months. As far as that, he could never have showed up. I'm hoping that I'm wrong on all this stuff, but as I get older, I wonder, what do these people do other than suck on the tit of the world? I don't know. And then we have to vote for all kinds of other people. We don't know anybody. We got to vote for how many judges? Then we've got to vote for, like, sanitary district. The river's always dirty. What difference does it make who they put in there? It's always dirty. It's a drainage canal. It's not even a river. Who's kidding who? You think any of them? We've not had any idea in the last 25 years how to clean up the river by any one of these people. So who gives a crap who's in there? I mean, not just because it's raining on the way in, maybe, but where am I wrong here? Please tell me where I'm wrong, because I'd love to be wrong.
Well, in this state specifically, and in this particular midterm election, outside of the gubernatorial race, there's not a lot of reason to run to the polls. And then even that race, you're not too excited in picking between billionaires. I get that. I do.
Tell me, which one of those guys is worse or better? I don't know.
I don't know. I voted for Daniel Biss in the primary. He did actually pretty well, but he couldn't spend to the same level as these two clowns. As no one could. I mean, it's record governor spending in a race by both of them. And now I'm probably going to vote for Pritzker just because Rauner's done nothing for 4 years. But I'm not necessarily proud of it. I mean,
I'm going to vote for the libertarian
said that
guy.
Many times, right?
I read a bunch of his stuff yesterday. He seems like he's kind of said screwed on straight.
I just don't want Rauner back.
Yeah, I don't.
So I'm not going to waste my vote, do I think that Pritzker's going to make huge changes in 4 years? I hope so, but
he's going to raise your taxes.
I'm not super confident about it.
They're going to raise your taxes. That's the only solution they come up with. That's it. And then Madigan safe from term limits. I'm getting, as a guy who, I always fall back on the numbers, which, by the way, don't ever do that, because it all does make you miserable. Not miserable as a person. Explain to me, Lucy, why the hell, two elections ago, the politically incorrect, the Greek lady who ran for the Metropolitan Sanitary District. Now, there's all kinds of Greek money now coming into politics because, own a lot of places. I'm not saying it shouldn't. And if you want to make a name for yourself, you got to spend. I keep telling people here, listeners of Stocks and Jacks, we should have our lobby. If we don't have our lobby, we might as well shut the bleep up, because nobody's going to pay attention to us. We don't have any money. Unfortunately, I'm right there. Nobody can debate that part. What they must have spent. That lady had three or four huge signs on the expressways coming in. I think that job, when Nancy ran for state treasurer, that's a while ago, Betty, I think that job paid $45,000 a year. I'm going to say it's up to 65, maybe. How do you spend $400,000, $500,000 on a $65,000 job? I mean, what are these people getting on the side? This lady running for comptroller, she stood up to Mike Madigan. What does that mean? She stood up when he walked by?
Let me ask you this: if there's no reason to vote, which is the your message?
No, I said I didn't say that. I said
that's it. That is what you've said.
Well,
for about 14 minutes,
we've managed to bastardize the system somehow to where these guys. I think there's a lot of reason to be involved in politics, but if you wait until the day of the vote, you're as useless as whatever, because the decisions are all made for you by this time. Not the governor one, but all the other ones. I mean, if I cared about the state rep or the state senator, I'd have to like vote, run against them or find somebody who did. They're running unopposed. Mike Quigley's really unopposed. So I mean, I said the work needs to be done earlier than this, I guess, is my message.
What are regular people supposed to do?
That's
all you can do is vote.
I'm asking you that question. You can't ask me it back.
Well, they're supposed to vote. That's all they can do.
Well, I guess there needs to be some more participation earlier on, and I don't know what it is. I think maybe if anybody had the time, that Stocks and Jacks, if we had a lobby and actually cared, and we could send somebody to the preliminary meetings, and when a guy says something, we'd say, no, you're an idiot. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we need to have somebody in the original parties where you decide who's running. Why did Mike Quigley get the run versus somebody else? That decision was made years ago by people that weren't us.
Tribune is reporting that so far an additional 1.5 million voter registrations for this midterm election in Chicago. That's the highest recorded number in the city since the 1982 midterms.
Well,
what were so special about the 82 midterms?
Is that tricky, Dick?
82? No.
I don't know. Dig back and find out.
That was Reagan, halfway through Reagan's first term.
Well, I don't know. We should know. I was here. We'll have to ask Eric. I can't remember when he comes in. But you know, there's something kind of wrong in the process in some places. Now, in other states, I think the process is pretty fair. The people in northern Indiana, I talk to the rep and those kind of people. They have people running against them. They actually have debates where they go, and two of them will show up at the same garden party and talk. And I mean, it's a much more intelligent process to me. But I don't. If you're not going to deal with the pension issue, and I guarantee you that this guy will not fire any of the people who are running the pensions. Okay, they will not change the pension board because they've done a horrendous job. He will not stop paying minority firms three times what other people get paid. He will do nothing that anybody like me could say, well, of course you're pissing away nothing but money here. At least let's stop that. They won't do that because those people are the people who get him in there. He's not gonna stop the road construction project that's taken 4 years, that should take 1 year, and say, who the hell's doing this? They're not gonna do any of those things that need to fix anything in this state. They just won't do it because they wouldn't be where they are if that's what they were gonna do. I mean, that's why Trump aggravates me so much. He had the chance to do this, and now he's blown it because of some incredible ego or whatever mental illness the guy's got. Or just being old. I don't know what it is. But, I mean, he had the chance to change all this, and he's blown it. I dislike the man way more for that than I do his other foibles. He had a chance that I would have loved to have had. And he's blowing it. I mean, and now even Fox pulled his latest ad, which is scary. Of course, if you play it for 3 weeks and pull it the day before the election, now what is that supposed to mean? I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, come on.
In Texas, votes cast by those under 30 are nearly five times higher than for the 2014 midterms.
Did you happen to see, I saw this thing yesterday.
I think this is, I mean, I understand the, like you're saying, you know, the reason to be apathetic, especially in Illinois. But I love the fact that by all early indications, people are actually taking action, which is good.
By the way, I hope I made it abundantly clear, because I know from being on the air, it's not what you say, it's what people hear. I absolutely am going to go. I just wonder what the hell I'm doing.
Well, you've never missed any sort of election.
No,
I always voted. Yeah.
So, but I'm saying when I get there, I'm going, okay, what am I doing voting for retention of judges? Whose stupid idea was this?
I was actually talking with a couple of my buddies about it last night and, at the library. And, they were saying that.
You had books over on your side of the saloon?
They were basically saying that they voted in the governor race. They voted in all the races that they were sort of aware of, and then you get to the 9 pages of judges, and they just left them blank.
So yeah.
Like, I don't even know. You kind of work your way through the first one, and you're like, wow, there's like 8 more pages of these. I'm not going to waste any more time.
That's when you look for the Irish name.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, basically, what else can you do? I mean, it's insane. And yet, would anybody ever trust the people in this state to pick the judges? Your elected officials. Well, let me get back real quick, Betty. A judge's job. It's $500,000 run for a judge now. And a job pays $150,000. What exactly? Who's this, the lady who's running, who stood up to my, as I mentioned before, the lady who's standing up to, who's the Republican comptroller? Tells her name. Actually a nice name. I've had nothing but commercials from her. She's gonna make sure the state, first of all, she's misrepresenting.
Is that Judy Bertopinka?
No, she's dead.
She's dead, right?
Yeah, this is the new.
Yeah, she's been dead for like years.
This is the new young Republican.
Why? I typed in Illinois Republican comptroller, and her name pops up.
Put down candidate. Or look at Illinois ballot, and she. So, I mean, the job is What is it?
Oh, it's Susana Mendoza.
No. She's the
current one.
She's going to run for mayor.
I've heard her name a lot.
I see she's running for mayor. While she's running for that, which is even more bizarre. Yeah, she let leak last week that she's running for mayor. But she wants this one in her back pocket, so if she loses, she's still a controller. What does a controller do but write checks out that other people tell you to write? you have zero power to do anything. One thing a state should do is put the comptroller and the treasurer's job together. There's not two jobs there.
I would agree.
So anyway, but she's going to, I'm going to say her, she's got to be up to $750, maybe $1 million.
Is it for a job Darlene Sanger?
Yeah, for a job that pays $150,000 a year.
Yeah, that was hard for me to find for some reason.
Yeah, it's for a job that pays $150,000 a year. Is there something here we're missing? I mean, could the pension be that high? I mean, what are we missing? Why would anybody spend $1 million for a job that does nothing and pays? Anyway, I've got one here for you, Manny. It's you can find this one on Bloomberg. Here's who actually votes in American elections. And this is, I don't know, their graphics is a little weird, but the population shifts among people is pretty dramatic. If you look here, this is the people who vote, right? Overall, the U.S. is rapidly becoming more diverse, with the country projected to become majority 9 white by 2045. I thought it would be before that, actually, but I would be wrong again. Still, the 2014 midterm electorate was nearly 76% white and about 17 years older than the median of the U.S. population. So the electorate is usually a lot, and that's what I actually like about this, Manny, is a lot of young people are getting involved. So the electorate shouldn't be skewed that way, because you end up, and it's not like, you know, the old people shouldn't have some clue. They do. I mean, you've been here for a long time. You should have picked up a few. Anyway, but this, if you look at this, the over 64, the amount of white people is dramatically higher than Asian, Black, Hispanic, and other. But it's under 25. It's almost 50-50. So there is a definite skew in the population as you go higher. So as people get older, and you look at the different the voting totals. So it's people do need to go out and, what should I say, almost like represent your demographic. You know what I'm saying?
Kevin writes in at 7:15 a.m. Probably 300 people in line at Ottawa Township Hall.
Yeah,
waiting to vote. 2016 repeat.
Well, As we talked about yesterday, I don't have any idea how they do these polls. None of those people got polled. They're probably not likely voters because they probably didn't vote last time, especially in a midterm. And how do you call people at home? I don't want to.
The job of a pollster has got to be tougher than ever.
Yeah, I don't see how
with no landlines and people not answering their cell phones. I get that. All indications are that when he asked 2016 repeat, if he means Republican win, that obviously that's very possible. But 2016, the difference is no one voted in 2016. 2018, indications are that we might have record turnout. Now that might be equally record on both sides, and that's very possible. So he might be right that the Republicans could win. I mean, no, I don't think anyone doubts that. But all indications are that we're going to have huge turnout compared to 2016. Well, no one voted in 2016.
I think that there's, in some of these states, and again, I'm maybe pissed off that we're not one of them. In some of these states, because I was going through, I spent an hour and a half or two yesterday knowing I was going to talk about it today. It may not sound like it, going out research, but I did. There are a real lot of, serious, struggles or elections between younger people, Democrats and Republicans. Both sides look to me like they have some talent. We're actually getting a pretty good crop of new people into some of these races. And in some of the Senate races, there are Senate races where the people running are in their mid-40s, you know, and look like they have some talent. Which to me is very positive. We just don't happen to have one of those here. So that's, I didn't say nobody should go vote. I just said it's hard for me to walk down the block because of our particular situation. I mean, the rest of the world, I don't think, has a senator and a rep that essentially is in an African-American neighborhood 5 miles from yours, and they reach in two blocks in your area just to make your vote not count. I mean, that's a uniquely, well, I won't say Illinois because Texas does it and Pennsylvania does it, but it's somewhat of a unique thing. I mean, let's hope other people, at least you're voting for somebody in your area, you would hope. I mean, look at the way we do the districts here. I mean, you think Bobby Rush would ever win in a computer-generated district? or Danny Davis?
Probably not.
I mean, for those, I mean, this is, maybe it's politically incorrect, but they take as much as they can of essentially the hood on the south side, figure out how many votes they're going to get no matter what, and then reach out into some tentacle of some suburb where the demographic is totally different, and then say, okay, we'll grab 25% of these people because they will make their vote not count, which is really what they're doing, right, Manny? Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of sums it up.
But then you can actually screw thyself. The Hispanics... screw thyself. Where you can maybe I clean that up. Where the Hispanics, in order to make sure there was a Hispanic representative, have this ridiculous barbell-looking district. And I'm going to say right now the Hispanics probably deserve two guys. And they're stuck with one because they're all in the same district.
I don't know the history of all the gerrymandering that's gone on in this country. I know it's insane in Texas. It's insane here. But the fact that all of these districts aren't randomly computer generated at this point in time to me is abominable. I mean, it's really ridiculous.
Well, the whole argument is the idea of the Electoral College, the idea of the, you know, two senators in a state with four people in them, or, you know, half the states in the Senate. It comes down to psychologically, is the winner ever going to change the rules? The answer is no. I mean, there needs to be some kind of an outside. I mean, if you win the presidency, the Electoral College is the greatest thing on earth, whether you had won the electoral vote or not. You're not going to waste your time changing it. Now, in the states, the idea that the winning party gets to redraw the districts, well, that's both Trump and Obama said that's elections matter, right? So, but I mean, you reach the point where it's not even fair. And we've reached that point in a lot of these areas. I mean, these people would not even, they're unopposed. That's how bad it is. You can't even run against them. Explain to me how, I'll be politically incorrect, how some white person from one of these little suburbs they just attach onto for Bobby Rush, how does he go against Bobby Rush? First of all, he's a racist out of the box. If you want to say all the black people vote for one person and white people, which you shouldn't say because I don't think they do, even so, you boy, talk about pissing up a rope. I mean, who'd want to be that person? I mean, how do you do that?
I like that saying.
I mean, elections are tough as it is. In our society, I mean, being a democracy is very difficult to start with because there haven't been very many in the world and they haven't lasted very long in terms of world time. So when you throw these little wrenches in them to make them worse and worse and worse, people don't trust. You think that anybody trusts the people with the economy in the last 15, 20 years to trust anybody to get anybody their share anymore? I mean, do you think these people actually care about whether somebody down the chain gets a raise? I mean, this year everybody's going crazy about we're finally getting a 3% wage increase, which, by the way, is a good thing. And yet, you talk to somebody like Carl, somebody like me, we think the inflation rate's 6. We think you're 3% behind again. And I don't know how, we may not be right at 6, Matty, but we're sure as hell right at 4 or 4.5 or 3.5. I don't think you're gaining on it. So people have this zero respect. Now Kevin is right. Now, the idea that let's just assume a whole bunch of people can't stand Trump. The majority can't. Even though his followers do like him. Now, does that mean that they're going to flee right back to the Democrats? The people they fled from in the first place? I don't know about that. I have a real problem with that. I wouldn't.
Right? Are you talking about his actual base, or are you talking about the people who held their nose and voted for him?
But I'm saying right now, if you
decide, which I think are the same people.
Okay, but I'm saying right now, the Democrats, as of this time, other than in some of these young areas, these areas where the young people are running, we actually have some good representatives and senators, by the way, which I think the Republicans have too, so I'm not being one side or the other. Does anybody think that right now we really want to trade Trump tomorrow for Nancy Pelosi and Elizabeth Warren? That's not where these people are going, and the Democrats better realize that one of these days, because I'm one of those.
I don't think either of those two are going to run for president.
Elizabeth Warren is.
Or get nominated, I should say.
Okay, but I'm saying,
I don't
right,
think they're going to get,
I'm saying right
now, be close.
Right now, you're choosing between McConnell and Schumer. What a choice.
That's
I mean, what a choice.
That's a good point.
S&P futures down 750, Dow futures down 62, NASDAQ futures down 27 for Joel Anconin. And he's got to be like on some kind of higher after his Michigan team. We'll find out. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, Innovation and Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Garson jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, don't bank Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Joel, and Ken in a second. SP Futures down 6. Dow Futures down 46. The NASDAQ Futures down 26. Not so good. I've decided to say, okay, I'm going to take a big swig of coffee and I'm going to get my happy face on. You read this stuff and you wonder, what in God's name? Facebook has just blocked 115 accounts ahead of the U.S. midterm elections. They were notified by the federal government. Now, of course, you know, they, I don't know if they're supposed to be looking themselves or whatever, but if these things were from foreign areas and they were not authenticated, you know when they shut them off? Last night.
Just in time.
Could you?
After months of propaganda.
Could you write fiction like this? you would never sell a book, for God's sake. So they've been on for what? The entire cycle, and they shut them off last night. I mean, like they're going to, whatever. DAX down 31.3%, FTSE down 63.9%, CAC around down 18.4%. That is special. Way to be on the ball, guys. Nikkei up 248, coming back from yesterday, back over 22,000, 22,147. That's 1.1%. Shanghai has been quiet the last few days, down 6.2%. Hang Seng up 186.7%. They're bouncing back from yesterday's losses as well. They had the huge up day on Friday, huge down day yesterday, about half of the up day on Friday, and now they're kind of, they're still kind of up from where they were last Wednesday or Thursday. Oil down 40 cents, 62.70. Brent down 63, 72.56. Natural gas down a whole 3 cents, but yesterday, 3.53 on natural gas. That's up pushing 80 cents in the last 2 months. Our Bob, get a load of this, Manny. 167. I'm glad I didn't fill up the Suburban Sunday. I'll do it this week. Gold is up $4.20, 12.36. Silver up 4 cents. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have rainy conditions still in the area, and that's led to some slow travel times. But the biggest issue right now is on Lakeshore Drive. We have an accident blocking the 3 left lanes. Northbound, just before the Oak Street curve, there's probably some standing water that led to that, but that's a major issue right now. 3 left lanes blocked on North Lake Shore Drive, just outside of downtown, heading to the north side, so keep that in mind. Looking okay on the Edens and Kennedy as far as accidents are concerned. Slow travel times, though. Same with the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways are looking okay. Off the expressways, Northern Burbs, Buffalo Grove Road at Deerfield Parkway, there is a crash. In Hanover Park, there's a water main break that's blocking the right lane of Spring and South Road South at Weathersfield Way. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today will be cloudy and cold all day. The rain should go away, though. A high of just 49, which is where we're at right now. So we'll be sticking around right in the upper 40s with high winds and some rain this morning and lots of clouds. Beautiful November day. For our Phoenix listeners, it actually is beautiful down there. Sunshine, high of 83 today. Right now it's clear and 58. In sports, the Bulls got 41 points from Zach LaVine, and they held on to beat the Knicks in double overtime, 116-115. Suns were off. Blackhawks were off as well. Coyotes lost to the Flyers, 5-2. And in Monday Night Football, it was Tennessee doubling up Dallas in Dallas, 28-14. Chief.
So did you listen to any of Trump's final stuff? Do you want crime? Do you want criminals? Do you want immigrants? Do you want people that aren't like you in this country? You vote Democrat. Otherwise, you vote for me.
What did he say the other day? He said Republicans. Or he said Republicans make jobs and Democrats make bombs, or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. I was like, what?
And then we had after we did this, we're not going to do it again. Although, if you want to tweet in or something and ask the if you go back on all statistics on the market from 1900 on, and even in the last 5 or 6 presidents, he's not even close to being the best one for the market in his 20 months. Yet I read some article yesterday from some, actually two ladies, I believe, and said how disastrous for the market it would be if the Democrats took power. And I'm thinking, these people ever, do they ever let the facts get in the way of a good story? I mean, you don't. Joel, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing on this Tuesday morning?
Is it going to be Michigan Northwestern, or are you guys going to screw up and once again not make it to the Big Ten title?
Yeah. Well, taking one game at a time, Rutgers on the road, Indiana at home, and then we got to go into the snake pit in Columbus. You know they're going to be shooting for Shea Patterson's knees. Now, trying to take him out. I don't know if you noticed that on the second to last play of the game, our backup quarterback and our quarterback of the future went down with a broken collarbone on a sweep to the right. A big injury, I mean, that just means more pressure on Patterson. We have other guys what we could bring in, but you always would like to have that backup quarterback, especially when you're playing a team like the Buckeyes. But we control our own destiny, and that's the only thing we can really ask for.
Is that what's his name's brother or cousin or something?
It is. Ed McCaffrey, wide receiver for the Broncos. Christian McCaffrey, a running back with the Carolina Panthers. And this is the youngest brother. I don't know if there are any other brothers. Dylan McCaffrey, red shirt last year. Harbaugh's been grooving him. If we get to the title game or make the playoffs, you know, there's a chance Patterson may go pro. Quarterbacks are really coveted in the NFL draft. And I'm not sure if he's quite ready there yet, but money talks. And if he goes pro, Dylan McCaffrey will be leading the charge next year.
Where are the genes coming from in that family? Is like a grandmother, a decaf lead or something, for God's sake?
I think the mom was a track star, too. I don't have the entire history on it, but the dad definitely was, obviously the NFL athlete that he was, great receiver, and I think the mom was like a NCAA championship in track. So they got genes on both sides of the family.
I always sometimes I'll see some girl walking down the street and I go, I could make some tackles with her, you know.
That's not really correct. And let's just talk pro football.
Well, no, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. I didn't talk about her. I'm talking about me, you know.
Oh, okay. You know what? I almost called you on Friday, Chief, and I was going to say I'm worried about the Lions. You know I'm not a huge Lions fan. They were going into Minnesota. They were only like a 5-point underdog, and I don't make many football recommendations, but I was going to say that, man, you got to fade the Lions against the Vikings, and I kind of feel the same way here going against Chicago. I know they're giving Chicago's giving 6 points. Man, oh, man, they just fired their special teams coach. Stafford got sacked 10 times last week. I can't even think. Khalil Mack is just going to reside in that backfield, and they're just a team in disarray. And I don't know. I don't know, you Chicago fans out there, if you like to bet on your team or not, but the Lions really seem to be falling apart.
Well, Maddie and I were debating all the way in, and I'm sure in today's football he's probably right. The idea, the two trades last week, I don't get. Clinton Dix for a 4th-round pick, and the guy from Notre Dame, Detroit. The guy's got 45 catches this year. Golden Tate, and you dump him for a mid-round pick. I mean, what does that say to the rest of your team?
It's I don't know. And then, like, Detroit, they tried to twist it as they were looking towards the future. They were going to have trouble signing him is what it came down to. I guess they came pretty close. But they weren't able to, and instead of losing them just as a free agent and getting a compensatory, number 5 pick, they ended up getting a number 3 pick out of it. Then they thought that they could, make more use of your receivers. You see what happened against Minnesota. And then I read that they're looking at trying to bring in cast-off Brandon Marshall. So, I don't know. I think Bob Quinn, who we got from the Patriots, I think it just goes to show that the real brains in the Patriots is Bill Belichick. It's certainly not Matt Patricia, and certainly not Bob Quinn. So
well, surely wasn't Charlie Weiss. It wasn't Charlie Weiss.
No, it wasn't. It was. Did that guy? Did anyone get paid more money to do nothing than Charlie Weiss?
is he still getting paid by Kansas?
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think so.
He was. So, all right, what are we doing? Election market, right now the chalk seems to be, I'll use race terms because Joel's on, chalk seems to be, Dems get the, house by about 5 and they actually lose a guy in the Senate, it looks to me like that's pretty accurate, Joel.
How much is that going to change the market? I don't know. I mean, to see the to me, there's been a gridlock on a lot of important things, you know, as far as health care, and there's been a lot of, you know, nonsense and money being spent on, you know, different areas, you know, the immigration, different things that Trump's going after. So, haven't seen any consistent policies out of him, you know, during the first 2 years. Not sure what any changes that, I mean, obviously changes with the Democrats getting more powers can make it even more difficult. But, I think you're going to see a high turnout, Chief, and I think a high turnout here. People are going to make their statement, you know, whether or not they, you know, they want the country to continue and how it currently is. And, there's a lot of things that could be said, both pro and con.
But what is, we don't have much time, but a high turnout, I actually, different view of this. I mean, I love the fact there's going to be a high turnout. Don't get me wrong, anybody. But it,
sure.
There's only about 20 races that really mean anything. I went through like every state yesterday, and virtually every state's got somebody with a 99% chance to win. What difference does it make whether he wins by 500,000 to 100,000 or 600 to 150? I mean, I love the fact that people get in the habit of voting. I do it even though I grump every year in my area. There's nobody to vote for. But did you believe that cluster bleep on Friday with Kudlow and Trump, that the tariffs are off, the tariffs are in?
Chief, I mean, come on. When the spoons are moving 20, 25 points off stuff like that, it's almost, you know, you get that makes you really worried about, you know, the foundation of the market. I'd rather see us move on fundamental things, not tweets.
All right, good luck against Rutgers. You got to be able to win that one.
All right, go blue.
All right, buddy.
Remember what I said about the Bears.
Take care. NASDAQ futures down 16. SP futures still down 5. We'll be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hines, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures are coming back here a little bit, right now 4.25. They're only down 38. S&P, or NASDAQ only down 18. Not much movement. Yesterday, the big story was natural gas movement. And that's hanging in there. It's another shot of inflation that we'll ignore. Kenny, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. You ready to start putting a little more insulation in the house with that 30% run-up in natural gas yesterday?
Well, I don't have natural gas in my house, right? I got oil, and actually oil's come down. So, yeah, but I still have to put insulation. But, yeah, I don't have natural gas in my house. I have propane for my stove and propane for my water heater, and I got oil for my house.
Oil?
But, yeah, no, I would imagine there's a bunch of people out there that are going to put more insulation in their attics and in their basements as a result of what happened to natural gas yesterday.
Do you realize how the entire rest of the country for like 100 years has gone way beyond this oil thing?
I miss what you said. Say it again?
The entire country for like 100 years is like advanced past oil. My grandfather used to have an oil heater. And
yeah, no, I still have. Well, I got a tank that's buried outside in my backyard. It's about, I think it's a 1,000-gallon tank, and they come. You know, now they come every 4 weeks or 4.5 weeks, and top it off with 300 or so, 400 gallons, depending on how cold it is outside. But no, up here in the Northeast, you know, there's still plenty of oil in the ground, shall we say.
Well, are you one of those, I would never accuse you of this, but I'll ask you, are you one of those guys who runs the hose out there and fills up your Mercedes diesel with your home heating oil? And doesn't pay the gas
first
tax?
First of all, because I don't have a Mercedes diesel.
Oh.
And second of all, I'm not sure you could do
that. Actually,
I've never heard anyone doing that.
It's the same thing.
Is it really?
Sure.
I had no idea. No, because I don't have a diesel and I don't have a Mercedes diesel, so no, I'm not doing that.
I think you're probably missing a few of the things that make the diesel in the car cleaner, so you might be belching some smoking people, but I think it would surely run, or at least they used to. Anyway, what do you make all this, buddy? I mean, the weird part is I love the idea that we're going to have a big turnout. Yesterday,
right.
I spent a lot of time. So many of these races countrywide are like 99% chance to 1%. There's probably only, I'm going to say, well, how many percent of the races are actually contested? 10%?
Right. I think so. Maybe 10%. But those are the swing ones, right? Those are the ones that people are going to be paying attention to, because those are the ones that potentially have the ability to change the landscape. And like I said, and we've talked about this, right, out of the three real possible results, you either get a GOP sweep, and then nothing changes and the market surges. You get what the polls expect, which is a split Congress, so you're going to get gridlock for the next couple of years, and the market will ultimately be okay with that, so it won't collapse, or it won't surge right away. It'll just churn and slowly move higher, I think. And then, you know, the third possibility, which I think is the least likely, is a Democratic sweep, and if that happens, I think you see the market collapse, right, immediately the conversation will turn to the revocation of pro-growth policies more regulation versus less regulation, and then they'll start immediate impeachment proceedings against the president. It'll be a lot of noise. It'll be a lot of, you know, just a lot of uncertainty. And so, therefore, the first thing the market will do is, you know, sell off, and then it'll sit back and say, okay, let's reevaluate. But it will certainly reprice stocks based on that unexpected result.
In this particular case, Kenny, I'm going to probably agree with you, but I also know that you're smart enough to know that this case is somewhat unique. But I'm going to say, if you walked out of the New York Stock Exchange and started interviewing people,
yep,
the big lie is massively out there, that the Republicans are terrific for the market, and this particular character we have in there is better. He's like in the middle of the pack in the first 22 months. Actually, the biggest president in our lifetime for the market gains in his first 22 months was Jimmy Carter by far, followed by John Kennedy. And if you go back to 1900, the market does better with Democrats and in office over a long period of time.
Yeah, but I think that's true if the Democrats control the whole office, right? If there's a Democrat in the White House,
yep,
as well as Democrats in Congress. Because if it's split, then I think it ends up being gridlock. And the market doesn't necessarily do bad with gridlock. I mean, listen, a lot of these policies are already in place in terms of pro growth, and so if you got gridlock, you're not going to be able to pull them back, but you can't really make them any better, or you can't add new ones with a split Congress, and so therefore the market will get used to what it's got at the moment and continue to churn and then slowly move higher. That's what I think the result's going to be, and so therefore I'm not necessarily a bear at all on the market.
No, I'm not either. We're starting to get to where these big lies are starting to stack up. I mean, I guess what I'm saying, but I'm not so sure. And Kenny, when I was on the board of the SIBO, the old farts that were on the board with me that are as old as I am now, they would talk about, we don't want anybody, we don't want Congress in session, you want gridlock. I don't know if I'm ready for that one right now. When you start having a $1 trillion deficit when you're supposedly having a great economy that's maybe going to go into recession in the next couple of years, I don't know that you can have a 2-year do nothing Congress here and have everything be okay. I hope so, but it doesn't seem like the time when we're talking about, some kind of new trade deals that ought to be approved.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff for these guys to do because they haven't done anything in a while.
I agree with you. There is a lot to do, but I think what you'll end up getting is the current policies that are in place will stay. You'll probably get some bipartisan legislation that's going to happen. I mean, there'll certainly be some, but for the most part, I think the broader policies will remain intact.
I'm going to say, just like 1982, Kenny, and boy, I don't want this to happen. Just like 1982, when Reagan had his big tax cut, and all of a sudden the next year, even the Republicans were appalled at the size of the federal deficit. I'm saying if we have any kind of the growth even spits for a second this year, and we blow through $1 trillion in the next fiscal year, these guys are going to do something. There's going to be some regressive tax on payroll. It'll be 20 cents on gasoline. You name it. There's going to be something they're going to put through just because they're horrified at what they did.
Right. Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I'm in the camp that the economy is going to continue to chug along. It's going to continue to improve. And so therefore we're not going to get into that problem, right? Because the growth will then balance out the deficit and we'll see the deficit come back. Now, I may be way optimistic about that. Maybe I'm looking at it through rose-colored glasses, but I'm in that camp that I think the improving not only U.S. economy but global economy is going to be what rescues us.
All right, Kenny's got a couple of minutes here to save me from this one, Kenny. We haven't been through the last inflation cycle, unfortunately, from beginning to end, which not many were because they're not old enough. But I think the last quarter, you look at some of these specific companies, the General Motors. All they did was raise prices.
Yeah.
All Home Depot did was there's nothing. They didn't say how many more pickups they sold. All they did was said they made $605 more per pickup. I think we're in the early stages where these guys have tested a little bit of pricing power. They're getting giddy with it, and I think most of the growth in the last 2 months has been nothing more than raised prices, and it's not been increased sales.
I think you're right, and I think that's exactly the problem, right? Because I think it's happening kind of behind the scenes. People aren't really seeing it, paying attention to it, which is exactly why the Fed has got to stay on track. They can't be bullied into saying, no, we're not, we're not raising rates, we're not normalizing, we're not doing this, because I think all of a sudden what's going to happen is it's going to one day in one report, all of a sudden the number's going to spike and everyone's going to go, how did that happen? And then boom. It's going to be just like, and you said it, a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast may not remember what it was like in 79, 80, 81, when interest rates were 21%, and inflation was running at 10%, and unemployment was 13%. But I don't feel like going back there now.
No, the thought that we'd even toy with that in our lifetime is...
Right, but we did toy with it, right?
Yeah.
It did happen when we were... Look, I was in college when... I was just getting out of college when that happened, 1980, 83, when interest rates were still 20%. And... I for sure don't want to see it go back there.
So your tuition at Harvard went from 6 to 7.
My tuition at Boston University was $10,000 a year for 4 years, so it cost me $40,000 to go to Boston University.
Good for you. Mine was my last year was $3,200 plus a G for room and board. What's room and board now? Like 15?
Easily, it's got to be 15. Look, it costs you to go to Boston University today is almost $70,000 a year.
Well, they eat better than we did.
Room and board's got to be, what, $15,000 or $18,000 of that?
Well, they eat better, and they don't have to walk down the hall to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, and this is this one. We have a minute. If you and I are right, and we both hope we're not, and the inflation is a little ahead of where people think it is, I'm going to say I got news for people. You're not stopping that inflation by going from 2.5 to 2.
That's exactly right. You're not stopping it, which is why last week when they're all bitching and complaining and saying, oh, my God, the market's breaking down. The Fed can't possibly raise rates. How could they do that? The market's down 10%. It's in correction territory. Oh, my God, it's the worst thing the Fed could do. Guess what? Dude, forget that. The Fed doesn't care that the market's down 10%. It's not their problem. That's your problem. Because if you remember back in the 80s, when the Fed would come out on Thursday mornings at 8:30 and make their announcement, they'd open the door, they'd step out, they'd make the announcement, they'd turn around, they'd close the door, and they'd go away. They didn't care what you thought.
No.
They didn't hold your hand and give you a Xanax and say, come lie down on the couch, let's talk about it. They didn't care. The market had to figure it out. And quite honestly, the market needs to figure it out, and Jay Powell needs to stay on course.
Well, if you think you're having a hissy fit, not you. When you go from 2.5 to 2.75, think what will happen when it goes from 6 to 7 in one meeting.
Right, exactly. I don't know what these people are thinking, because they're so the majority of this country is so used to zero interest rates, they think 2.5% is like sky high. Hello, I got a story for you.
Hey, know? Buddy, good luck today. Ride them hard, as you always do, and I see you on TV. You look marvelous.
Thanks.
And you, thank you very much, Kenny. SP Futures still down 4.5. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks. Mr. Eric May.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTIsecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTIsecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, up Bay Stocks and Giants. I'm Tom Holly. Just went over on the board. I'm Sir Eric May on the phone. SP Futures down 4.25. Dow Futures down 40. NASDAQ Futures down 17. Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Haven't seen you in ages.
I know. What has it been, like 10 hours or something like that? I don't know.
You didn't make it to the end of that game, did you?
No.
That was a... It was pretty good while we were watching it. I guess it got worse after that. But
worse for Dallas. Yeah. Marvelous for Tennessee.
Yeah. By the way, Chief, regarding your inflation discussion, Joe writes in, if inflation is 6% and average wage increases followed at 6%, wouldn't inflation become a built-in reality? In my working life, most real income increases happen through promotions, changing employment, or finding new customers.
He's correct. But there was a time when you needed a raise just to keep up. And what I'm saying is we haven't seen that now. It's not built into the system. So say Eric is a professor, which he is, in 1980, if the inflation rate that year was 10%, before, if Eric the professors had some sort of a contract, either implied or for real, the first thing Eric would do would start out with a 10% raise before he discussed anything else. That infrastructure is totally gone, would you say, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's hard now for people to imagine that happening. But that was
and then, of course, you know, because of the, when, you know, the recession hit, you know, a lot of people just didn't get a cost of living raise for a decade.
Yeah.
Basically. And they're never going to get that money back. Now, having said that, you know, not getting a cost of living raise is certainly better than not having a job at all. And, but, you know, it's still a reality that, you know, for a decade, probably, you know, everything went up, rents went up, everything went up, but your salary didn't. So, essentially what that amounted to was a pay cut. And some people have had a pay cut that has lasted a decade.
Well, even if it seems...
And they're never going to, and there'll never be a catch up. There'll never be a point where they're going to catch up. Even if a business is doing better and is paying at a better rate for new incoming employees, and then you get a whole other issue where the older employees are in some way not making money at the same rate as the new employees are.
Even if it's 1.5% a year, you put a 10 spot year on there, that's 15% you're behind.
Yeah, and like I said, you'll never get it back.
And really,
it's never going to be a makeup.
And Eric, is this fair? I'm going to say a lot of the stress between private sector workers and public sector workers has to do with just what this question is, Matty, is if you're in the private sector, you didn't get, I'll use the term 2%, what's inflation's been, what, 1.5%, two, even the way these guys admit it, over the last 10 years, 15 years, teachers and other people who work for the city, policemen and so forth, have gotten a 1.5-2% raise cost of living when other people haven't. Now, there's nobody who's going to look at a teacher and a policeman and say, you don't deserve a 1.5% raise when prices are going up 1.5. I mean, nobody would be that big of a knucklehead, I don't think. But then you look at yourself and you say, well, okay, I haven't gotten one. And all of a sudden you look back and it's 2018, you say, all right, in the year 2000, my job used to pay, I'll pick numbers out of my behind. My job used to pay 50 grand and a teacher made 40. Now I'm still at 50 and a teacher's making 65. that's not right. I mean, whether it is or it isn't, nobody knows, but the relationship has dramatically changed. And yeah. I really do believe that's a lot of the stress you're seeing between even Trump supporters and other people and the Democrats who have fallen into this trap of essentially promoting the public employees. Because other people look at it and say, God, when I was a welder, you know, which I wasn't, I made $25,000 a year and a teacher made like 12. Now, the teacher might have been worth more than 12 and all that stuff, and I wouldn't have bitched at all if you'd have given the teacher a raise to 18. But here it is, 50 years later or 40 years later, and the teacher's making 80 and I'm making 40. Something's wrong here.
And then, of course, you had, you know, and actually there was a divide in the state between the private union people and the public union people until the governor basically just threw pig water on all union people and drove those two groups together.
Right.
And, you know, and what was not a smart political move on his part.
But the way this used to play out, I mean, I know, Manny, we get questions all the time, and I encourage you to keep coming. I wish of course, we didn't have cell phones in those days. Wish I would have had somebody that made a five-minute film of me, plus I looked a lot better. It was so, I mean, to think that this was my job, Eric, I would sit there and our contract with the one I was involved with, Railroad Cars for Boston, was like $60 million bucks for, I don't know how many cars we sent them. It was roughly $900,000 a car. So say 60 cars, 50, whatever it was. Now, every quarter, I would go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and I'd say, okay, the inflation was 2% last month, and 2% on top of $50 million is what, another $100,000 or whatever it was. And, by the way, your contract's now $50,100. And I would do the progress payments. You owed us $25 million at this time. By the way, send me $50,000. And they would. And then I would go to the next guy and I'd say, okay, the guy we bought the trucks from, you have the same deal. We owe you $10,000. Or when the guys with the seats, we owe you $5,000. There was this piggy move up all over the place. There was an infrastructure that came about after 6, 7, 8 years of inflation, where you just didn't deal with it. You just indexed everything. And that's not there. And you're seeing, if somebody rolled over in his grave and popped up from 25 years ago, he'd say, wait a minute, how is a guy in a factory making $40,000 and a teacher making 100? Where did that come from? It came from this, right, Eric? Pretty much.
Well, also, but, you know, the attempt to try to weaken unions is also some of the things that can sometimes keep
right.
Keep those salaries down. You know, it's that and the fact that there are just fewer jobs. You know, it's just, you just, I know this is a drum I've been beating ever since I came on your show, but it's like, you know, some of this is also just the way we've modernized industry.
Yes, yes.
And so there are not this wealth of industrial jobs that you can step out of high school and get. And actually feel like, you know, I can have a life on this salary, you know. And that's not there anymore, and that's where a lot of the stress is coming from, too, because people don't know, you know, yes, we're creating jobs, but what kind of jobs are they? I don't think they're the kind of jobs we had before, you know, where you could, particularly if you were living in a smaller market, where the housing prices weren't as expensive, where you could actually have a comfortable life. And now the jobs are such that, I don't know if you can have that comfortable life. You can have a job, but you may have to call together two or three of them between a married couple to have anything like a comfortable life, and they're not secure because, you know, things keep changing so much in terms of, industrial advancement and just how you make things. I mean, look at all of the industries that are now almost things that were huge, like, you know, Blockbuster.
Well, yeah,
they're just gone.
Yeah.
You know, and now, you know, even things like DVDs and CDs are on the way out. You know, and those things looked like they were going to be a staple for, you know, well into the century.
Wait a minute, I still got a bunch.
Yeah, and but my students laugh. I asked last week, gee, if you were going to be on a desert island, what CDs would you take? And they just giggled and said, what do you mean CDs?
What's a CD? Well, but you know, the interesting part, though, and you know, Eric, you and I, a lot of times you and I are talking loudly at the bar because I drag things down to numbers and you think I'm nuts half the time. But I wonder, though, I'd love to, did you ever read the Winds of War? I think you did, or the War in Remembrance, where Pug Henry became the
yeah, animal. Yeah, they made it into a TV movie,
yeah.
With Robert Mitchum.
It was a great book. But anyway, he became the head of an admiral, so he was on the battleship New Jersey, and he was dying to go below decks and see what made the thing tick, because he was an old Navy guy, but if he did that, he was usurping the captain's... Anyway, I don't get how these numbers work. I mean, I listen to people on the TV tell me how they work. Remember the Dominick stores? They had the big strike, and the people were, the checkout people, they were making too much money. Well, I go to the Dominick's, and I'm talking to this lady, imagine that. And, you know, back in the day, when those things weren't even powered, the ladies who worked the cash register had forearms like Popeye, because that was all done by hand. And every time you had to actually hit the thing to make it, you wouldn't arm wrestle one of those ladies. Let's put it that way. Is that a fair statement, Eric? But then it became all this scanning. So I'm talking to this lady and I go, you guys are back from strike. She goes, I've been here 15 years. I started at $11 an hour. Now I'm making $12.50 with all the new machines. I can process people through here three times faster than I used to. Try and explain to me at $13.50 an hour when I could send people out of here lickety-split, how the hell I'm the problem for this store. It has nothing to do with the inventory. They're ordering the wrong stuff. They're having wastage. I mean, I go into the Myers on Saturday, and there's five people checking out, and four of them, I use the term idiots, are doing it themselves, and there's a lady standing by herself. I said, are they getting a discount? She goes, no. I said, well, then why don't I use you? She goes, I have no idea. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, and plus, with the people that are checking out themselves, you need two people to watch them. I don't get the gain, Eric.
Some of it is, you know, people just like the idea of having, you know, personal control over what they're doing. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, the revolution in the music business, the revolution in... You know, this is why radio stations that play music are sometimes having trouble, because people don't want to sit and have somebody else decide what songs they listen to. I want to be able to decide that for myself. And so some people show up, but also they can get through quicker. I mean, I remember the one and only time I walked into a Walmart, and there were checkout lines, but there were also self-service lines, and in the self-service line, you just walked up, got your stuff through, and you were out. Oftentimes, in the checkout line, you got to stand there and wait. And some folks are just used to it. I mean, when I go to CVS, they have self-service, and they got one person standing behind the counter, and there's usually a line there.
Well, CBS, there's one.
Occasionally, there might be a one or two person wait at the self service, but usually there isn't. And you just do it. You're in. You're out. As opposed to standing in line and waiting for somebody.
Well, you know I know at CBS, you're just walking out with your one item, your big jug of monster milk powder. You know, but if you go to the Home Depot, for God's sake, people got 2x4s. Piled at the top, and anyway, I'm just saying that I don't see how that is saving these people when you're talking about basically zillions of dollars worth of inventory, and a lot of it might be the wrong stuff. I'm saying that paying somebody like that $11 an hour, I don't see how that's a massive deal, Eric. I mean, I just don't, but I guess I'm wrong. They're all doing
well. I mean, but you know what starts to happen is people get used to checking their own stuff out, and you see this over the long haul, and you just have to, those are going to be way fewer counter, you know, checkout counter people you're going to have to hire. It wouldn't surprise me if at one day we reach a point where there isn't anybody checking anything out at a store anymore. It's all going to be, you know, you walk up self-service, you check your own stuff out.
Eric, I was earlier, let's talk a little bit about the election, because you and I were talking about it last night. I love the idea that you know, we're talking about higher turnout. But you of course know as well as I do. In our district, there's nobody to vote for, pretty much, except judges. But I'm going through the state stuff here,
which is important.
Yeah, it is. If we knew who the hell they were.
Well, you know, actually, this year there's been more information out about judges than I've seen in a long time. You know, I'm kind of disappointed that it hasn't been made. I mean, Cranes has run a couple of things, and there is something in the Tribune about a few particularly egregious judges whose conduct has been particularly appalling. But I've seen more this time around than I've seen in years past. Hopefully, this is this speaks well for the future.
Well, a few years ago, when you and I first met, a few elections ago, I won't say the name because she is a judge. Said there's like three people that are off and don't even show up. So I forgot my list. So I voted no for all of them. But I'm thinking, why did I do something like that? What an idiot I am. So I go to the stats. Left to your own devices, 85% of the people vote yes if they don't know who the person is. This is across years. This is how people don't think that they're heard, but they sort of are.
Mm-hmm.
85% vote yes, and 15 are just curmudgeons like me and vote no.
Yep.
Right? But if somebody has been said by the Tribune, the Sun-Times, you should do what they say, or the ABA or somebody, that Matty Weber doesn't even show up. It's not that he's not qualified, he's just an idiot. I mean, he's drunk, he's this, that, and the other thing. Those numbers are almost exactly 67 to 66%. They never drop to 50, in which case they're out. So if you were to do the math, it basically says that 18% of the people read.
I saw one website that had listed a list of county circuit court judges, and they broke it down to a rubric. They had their name, what court they worked in, and then they had whether or not they had previously been a prosecutor or a defense attorney or a public defender, which one. They had different kind of flags. And one flag was if they'd had a lot of cases overturned on appeal, they've had controversies, there were a few that, three or four really bad flags by their name. And something like that probably needs to be more widely distributed. But the judges is just they don't have the information. There's no information about who they and even the bar associations are not always the best guide for which judges perhaps don't deserve.
Well, they're like
have the robes.
I mean, Eric, they're public employees. They're like policemen. They're not going to tell you the bad ones are.
I've seen more investigating into this time around than I have.
I would agree.
Years previous.
Well, there's been a couple
I'm
people
that in the future that there'll be more of this kind of information made available to the public.
But weren't there a couple people that were totally egregious, like they weren't showing up for 3 weeks in a row or something?
Well, it was that there were that and some other things. You know, some judges who even after. The head of the Cook County Circuit Court said, look, you know, you can't just start giving people, bail that's just for minor things that are just so high they're never going to be able to pay it. And certain judges who just said, the heck with it, they're just going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
So,
well, these
some other things. Yeah, I think.
There's these elections, Eric, and we're going through a couple of them here. And I was talking about how, you know, even if you get a big turnout, it doesn't do you any good if the person doesn't even have a. What a big turnout in our district do? Nobody's even running against anybody. But I'm looking at some of this stuff, and this will piss Manny Weber off because I'm looking here at the Illinois district. So I'm going down. District number two, wherever the hell this is. Robin Kelly, who the hell is she? She's unimposed. She raised $880,000, spent $839,000. How do you spend $839,000 when you're unimposed? I have no idea. But she's got $434,000 cash on hand. Look at the breakdown of the contributions. Small individuals, $61,000. Large individual contributors, $229,000. So what does she owe these people? PAC, $588,000. So the PAC is damn near two-thirds of the whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
So the people there think that she actually represents them? I mean, what manner of moron would think that? And she's on a post. So why she had to spend this kind of money, I don't... see, the first district is Bobby Rush. I'm just going down the list here. He actually raised $346, which isn't very much. The guy running against him, Thomas Rudbeck, I've never heard of him. He's an independent. He's not Republican. He's independent. Raised $266. So they both spent, you know, somewhat of a reasonable amount, which I actually was... The other guy, Jimmy Lee Tillman, he has no numbers, so he probably didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But now our guy, Mike Quigley, the 5th District, he raises $1.2 million. He's like on a... The other guy, Tom Hansen, I mean, I don't think Tom Hansen raised 48 cents. How does Mike Quigley spend $1.2 million?
Well, you don't necessarily have to spend it all on this one election. I believe the election laws allow you to roll that over to the next election.
Well, but he did spend it. It said that's how much he spent. There's ways spent.
And, you know, if you decide, you know, for instance, this is what got a lot of donors in 2008 angry at Hillary Clinton, because they had given her a lot of money. They had maxed out the money they gave her to run for the Senate in 2006, because they knew she'd be able to keep it. Their idea was, you're not going to need this much money to get reelected, but we'll max out the amount of money now because we know you're going to run for president in 2 years, and then we can max it out a second time and you can build up your war chest. Only she wound up spending an inordinate amount of money to get reelected because her campaign was so inefficient.
Well, our buddy Mike,
and that's part of the... I mean, that's some of where some of it comes from too. Is that they're holding on to this. You know, who knows? You know, you decide you want to run for the Senate, you decide you want to run for governor, you decide you want to run for something else, and then you can have this campaign money at the ready.
Well, plus you can spread around to other people. Mike Quigley, get a little of this. Small individual contributions, $38,000. I'm going to say that's a pittance. Large individual contributions, $587. PAC contributions, $682. So large individuals in PAC were like 95%. Does anybody think that this guy cares about us? Why would he, money-wise?
Well, I mean, you know, just because... I mean, most politicians will tell you that raising money, and a number of them say this, that raising money is the part of the job they like the least. Given the reality of what political campaigns are, that this is what you if you don't raise any money, you're going to wind up losing. You know, that you have to raise sometimes a sizable amount of money just to scare off certain people, because they go, okay, this incumbent has so much money and there's no way I'm going to raise that much. I'll just let it go. But also that you have to have this money in hand if you're going to run, if you're going to run an effective campaign. But a number of politicians talk about how they hate having to do this. Congressional representatives have to spend most of their time, the ones who are in, you know, representatives and in the state house who are in for 2 years, they spend a good deal of their time simply going around and raising money.
Remember the guy in, are you a band guy? You like the band flicks?
I liked them when I was a kid. Then I kind of outgrew them.
Ah, well, the one where From Russia with Love, which had the gorgeous Danielle Bianchi in there, which not that I remembered. The guy who was the Turkish guy that had the girl would come and visit him every day at noon.
Yeah.
And then finally, the one lady says, "Oh, you don't like me?" And he goes, "All right, okay, let's go in the back room." I'm like these guys, they're so reluctant. Well, here's our buddy Chuy Garcia. He allegedly is opposed, right? He's raised $793,000, and his opponent is Mark Lorch. Guess how much Mark Lorch has raised?
I'm going to say $793,000.
Try eight.
Okay, well.
Now, there's a fair fight. Good Lord. Hey, you watch this stuff, and you're like stunned. But, I mean, if you were looking at this, and you were just some, and I'm trying not to be, you know, too crazy here, but here's one. It's real. Peter Raskam, $6.3 million. Sean Kasten, evidently this one's neck and neck, right? $5.3 million. So these guys are pretty much right on the number here.
And where is most of this money going? It's going to TV advertising.
Oh sure, but now
there's an easy way to solve this problem. You know, nobody gets to advertise on television. You know, a lot of these campaign ads, You know, if you're doing an ad for milk, you can't actually say things like my competitor's milk has ptomaine.
Yeah.
But in the political ads, you can see all kinds of ridiculous stuff that isn't true, either about yourself or about your opponent, and there's nobody there fact checking any of it. And we put out bigger restrictions on how to sell shoes and items, vacuum cleaners or cars than we do political ads.
This is
just allowed to be all over the place.
This is interesting, though, Eric. I mean, I find no interest in numbers all the time, which makes me a knucklehead, I guess. But
yeah.
This is Sean Kasten. Now he's in this huge fight against Peter Rascomb.
Yeah.
His PAC contributions are like a half or a third of what Quigley and Robin Kelly got, and they're not even in a race, which is really bizarre. PAC contributions for Rascomb are $3 million, and for this guy Kasten, it's only $297,000. So
yeah.
The PACs obviously don't like these. You go through these numbers, there's a lot of questions pop up, don't they? It's weird.
Well, also, it's just who has an organization that's effective at raising dough. I mean, it's each one of these campaigns is to some degree like, an independent contractor.
Yep.
It's not like they're all the same, and it's not like they're all as adept or in places where they're going to be able to raise as much money.
This guy put $630,000 in of his own money. What do these guys make? 150 or 200 a representative? 2 1/4 or something like that?
Yeah, but some people have their own private sources of income.
Plus, most of these guys figure if they walked into Tripoli, they wouldn't be buying.
Some people have Todd Ricketts, who is now becoming apparently a real mover and shaker in. And if Rauner doesn't win, we'll become a bigger mover and shaker in Republican politics in this state. There were some folks who were in the Republican side wanted him to run this time. If he decides to get into politics, he's going to have a lot of money.
I'm not going to say anything, bad.
Into that, and that, of course, we can go back to John F. Kennedy as to someone who was able to use family wealth as a huge advantage when it came to politics.
Didn't we already have a president whose daddy bought him a baseball team? I mean, how'd that work out?
Not so well.
Eric, thank you very much, buddy. It just flashed into my mind. Isn't that where Rob Bush got started? Oh, God, they didn't even win. The Rangers. Anyway, Eric, thank you very much, buddy.
All right, take care, man.
God, was that a flashback, Matty, or what? For God's sake, that's not good. S&P futures still up 5. Be right back, Mr. John Neal. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tamani, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Market's fluctuating. It's been down all morning, but it's flipping back and forth fairly quickly. We're down 6 on the S&P. That was down 47. NASDAQ down 19. A minute ago, it was down 23, so jumping back and forth 2-3 points kind of by the second. Over in Europe, we've got small losses. We got the DAX down 31.3%, FTSE down 63.9%. That's kind of a real loss. CAC round down 18.3%. Over in Asia, we've got every day corrected from the day before. Nikkei was up huge on Friday, down pretty huge yesterday. Now it's up today, 248, 1.1%, 22,147 there. Kind of flying back and forth wildly across this 22,000 number. Which is still down a bunch from where it was lately. Shanghai down 6.2%, 26.59. Again, these guys are kind of 26.50, 2,700. Hang Seng up 186, 26,120. Again, 25,000, 27,000. All kind of in this violent range. Oil down 40 cents, 62.70. Brent down 63 cents, 72.54. So the spread is $9.80, roughly. Natural gas hanging in there over 350. 353, down 3 cents today. RBOB 167, so going down at the pump, which is always good. We've got gold up 420, and we got silver up 4 cents. Manny, what do you got? By the way, the Facebook, after being nudged by the federal government, has decided to take all these crazy ads from outside the country off their website. They could influence the election, although the bleeps did it last night. So we're not sure how in fact, tossed in a couple other places, tossed Trump's ridiculous commercial regarding the caravan and how they were all, you know, criminals and so forth. They decided that was racist after, what, 2 weeks of playing it? Matty, what do you got for us, Travis Weather Sports?
It never ceases to amaze me. No. 38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We've had cloudy and rainy conditions for the majority of the morning, and that's led to increased travel times and some accidents, too. We had a big crash on Lakeshore Drive. That apparently is all clear now. So Lakeshore Drive is back open, so that's good news in both directions. That earlier crash was on the northbound side right at the Oak Street curve. on the Kennedy. We're an hour now from O'Hare into downtown. We have a crash right off the expressway at Cicero and Irving, but no accidents on the expressway itself. Eisenhower completely jammed, as it usually is for this hour, so keep that in mind. Stevenson looks okay. Normal traffic volumes on the south side expressways. One other issue in the area, and that's that earlier water main break in Hanover Park. The right lane is blocked at Spring and Guth Road south at West Wethersfield Way. And that's that area is closed due to that water main break. Everything else looking okay out there, and it looks like the rain has stopped for now, but will be cloudy and cool all day today with high wind gusts, a high of just 49, which is where we're at right now. So we're at our high. We'll be in the mid-40s this afternoon with wind chills in the 30s. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 83 today. Right now it's clear and 59. In sports, Zach LaVine scored a career-high 41 points last night. He was spectacular, and the Bulls topped the Knicks 116-115 in double overtime. Suns were off last night. In hockey, Blackhawks were off. Coyotes were in action. They lost to the Flyers 5-2. And in Monday Night Football, it was the Titans doubling up the Cowboys in Dallas 28-14. Chief.
John, how are you?
Going great. How about yourself?
All right. You remember when our buddy Matt Weber used to have his finger totally on the pulse of the sports world and he could dig out every story?
Yes, I thought he was still there.
Thank you, John.
Well, he missed a huge He missed a huge one from yesterday. Did you see that because of all kinds of issues, which I never knew they had an issue with this, your buddies at Under Armour have stopped expensing trips where they take people to strip clubs.
Oh, that's morally sound.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that's mighty nice of them.
Because when you go into these college towns and you buy this, I didn't even know there was.
What else are you going to do in a college town? There's not much going on.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a strip joint in South Bend. So they would have taken all the guys from Notre Dame and the players to the strip club in South Bend if there was one.
Well, at least the decision makers. I don't know about the players.
Oh, they claim players too.
Oh, wow.
So it didn't say you couldn't go.
Well, they wanted to have them seen wearing their apparel, of course.
Yeah.
Well, if they're 18, you know, what's the big deal?
Well, most states are drinking ages 21.
Well, a lot of strip clubs don't serve alcohol.
That's true.
They're 18 plus.
I wouldn't know that. You know, I just one of those things.
Although I haven't been to a strip club in, I think I've been to two in my life, and both were between like 18 and 21. So it's been about 15.
Been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me.
The best was, I won't say who dragged me there, but contributor to the show. You know, in Florida, on one side of Route 1, this is a long time ago, it's full nudity, and the other side, it's not. One side of the street it's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
So did you go to the full nudity side?
We did both. This was, 1980-something-something.
Well, that's the difference out here, Tom, is, I mean, I don't know why the distinction, but the full nudity places do not serve alcohol, and then the topless serve alcohol. I'm not sure.
You got to have rules.
You got to have
what it is in Arizona.
Yeah, you got to have rules.
You got to have rules. We're not sure why the rules are there, but I did see Jim Kelly in the full nudity one, and he was in the VIP room, though. The quarterback.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, and we were not. We were
right. The great Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, we were at the Great Unwashed.
Well, he went to college at Miami.
Okay,
I think he's a Florida guy, even though, you know, he's associated now with Buffalo, New York, but he's a Florida guy. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at Stocks, the letter N Jocks. We have a bunch of tweets here. B. Koenig writes in, the only good thing about running a negative election is it pisses people off and gets them to the voting booth.
Well, that's the truth.
David writes in, I laughed for years that people never thought to challenge Eric Holder and Barack Obama, Department of Justice sticking their noses into state election boundaries, but when you listen to Matt and Chief, you are left to conclude it's their Chicago experience.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I mean, who just won the big court case? Wisconsin was as bad. Pennsylvania was Texas. I think Texas was worse. Texas, after who the hell won the governorship down there? Somebody
Perry
must have been Perry. When somebody they did it. It was an abomination. I mean, Illinois showed them the way. But I would say that the Supreme Court cases are Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Texas, aren't they, Jen?
best of my knowledge, yes.
Yeah, I think in Wisconsin, and they're still fighting them in Pennsylvania. They don't want to redraw them. Then they redrew them.
Right.
In Wisconsin, exactly. they redrew them, and then they went to court, and the court said they still suck, basically. It's been a huge fight.
Yeah, it's really sad. Regarding your conversation with Eric earlier in the hour, Kevin writes in, 8,000 open, unfilled jobs in Elkhart County. Manufacturing and warehousing, high school graduates going right into $17 an hour jobs.
That's terrific. Although, I'm going to say...
And where was that at? Where was that at, Matt?
Elkhart County, which is Indiana.
Okay. And
okay.
The only thing I'll say about that is that if wages had kept up with inflation, those jobs, I'm going to say, would be 22 to 25 in today's world. That they're trying to find fairly skilled people. They're going to show up all the time and do all that kind of stuff. I still think 750 is a little light for that. I mean, I really do. Because, I mean, people were making that when I was young. I just, you know, I mean, the market sort of is the market, but, and Kevin is correct. And by the way, we love the fact that he is involved in that kind of stuff because there is definite improvement on the fringes. And Kevin brings that to light constantly. And it's way better than 5 years ago in Elkhart County when you're dragging people for 11 and 12. And Kevin is right. I'd just like to see the number higher for the skill level they're looking for people. I mean,
are you saying the minimum wage is $7.50?
No. $17.50.
The national minimum wage is like $7.25. Isn't it still like...
Oh, is it really? I thought it was higher than that.
Well, I think...
It's higher in Illinois, but...
You know what? Dig that up, man. You might be right, but I thought they just... All the states have risen.
So what do you think it is?
You know, Illinois, I think, is what?
I said national.
I'm wondering if they raised it. I don't think they did. I think it's like $7.75.
John, what do you think it is?
You know what, Matty?
The national minimum wage.
I'm going to say...
I was going to go out on a limb and say 10, but I think...
Oh, no, Matty, I'm going to reload. $6.50.
No, it was right what I said it was. $7.25.
$7.25, okay.
Right on the button.
Well, it was...
So that's the national minimum wage.
Right. Right.
The national minimum wage, and it has not been changed since July 2009. So the first year of the
pathetic
Obama presidency, it was raised to $7.25.
From $6.50, I think.
It has not moved since, so... It's sad. Now I'll find Illinois right now, which I think is closer to 10.
I'm going to say 9.50. Because the girls at the Dunkin' Donuts just get the raise. And
Illinois minimum wage actually is not as high as I thought. It's 8.25 in Illinois. And that was changed 2 years ago.
This is pathetic.
California is 11. Indiana is the national average, 7.25.
How about Arizona, if you're there?
I can find it.
Well, we just went to 10. Did Chicago just go to 10?
Arizona is actually up there with California. 10.50 in Arizona.
Okay, see, that's where I was getting my 10 figure. That's, because I'm hearing that around here.
That's impressive.
Man, is Chicago 10? Somebody here is 10. I thought. I should know this. I thought maybe Chicago at 10, because didn't they...
Chicago... Let's see here. So Chicago is in the midst of a phase-in plan, it appears.
Yeah.
So they did a city ordinance. So in 2015, it was raised to $10.
That's what I thought.
$10.50 in 2016, $11 in 2017. It's now $12 in 2018, and it'll be $13 in 2019.
The reason why...
That's Chicago.
The reason why I know
the
that...
the city of Chicago?
Yes.
The reason why I know that, Jen, is the girls at the Dunkin' Donuts here in the morning that we get our coffee from, they raised the price of the coffee... Because they had to go from, 9.25 to 10, maybe? And then they cut all the girls back from 8 hours to 7. The guy runs the place. He's a certain degree of special. But
I will say, I mean, can you imagine? I can't imagine living in Chicago at $13 an hour, but you imagine at $7.25, the national minimum wage?
What's the point?
You're not
living.
You're living under a bridge.
The only way, I mean, they're having to get some sort of, to survive, some sort of, benefits, food stamps, supplements, for housing, things like that, or there's no way.
Well, that's what, when you, as much as you don't like to, I don't dislike anybody personally, but when you hear people talking about people have a job, it used to be at this unemployment rate, and let's not go into how many people are out of the workforce, but this unemployment rate, the problem now is not getting a job. The problem now is a lot of the poor are working poor. I mean, you're making enough for you. Isn't some huge percentage, Matty, of people that actually have a job qualify for food stamps?
Yeah, and that was really why I think Bernie got so much traction 2 years ago is his stance that we're the richest country in the world, and yet we have a huge percentage of working poor that actually have jobs and exactly. still can't, you know, support a family. And that's pretty sad.
And they have to
sad.
Have two and three jobs. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's sad when you know how much money is here, and yet so many people have no access
well,
to
it. And you ask yourself...
Which I'm not, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into that, but I think that's why he garnered so much support.
Well, at Pullman...
Exactly.
At Pullman, the guys that I worked with, and I was on the lower end of the scale, even though I had the best degree, was because my first job was at Allied Van Lines, and I didn't get paid very much there because I wanted to learn about small businesses. So I went from around the country to the various agencies and help them out individually. But that's what I wanted to do. I mean, I knew I wasn't making as much there and it would hurt me later on. So anyway, Pullman and Sam making $20,000 as an exec. And, I wasn't getting the cost of living raises, but the guy who was the head of Pullman, Clark Lackland, was making $250,000. So he was making roughly 10, 11 times me. All right, and he was probably making 12 times the guys on the trading floor, and the guys on the welders are probably making 19 or something like that. But now you'll see people still making 19, and the guy running the place is making, you know, 40 million. I mean, we're not even on the same planet in terms of, you know, relative worth type of thing. That's a problem we're going to have to deal with going forward, I guess. But
one other thing to note today, and obviously it might be too little too late if you haven't already alerted your employer, but for employers out there, in Illinois, employees entitled to vote have a right to be absent from work for a period of up to 2 hours between the opening and closing of the polls if they have applied or informed their employer of their need to for time away from work before the election day. So if you have an employee that gave you notice yesterday or earlier that he or she needed 2 hours of time to vote, you have to grant that.
Do you think that's still...
It doesn't say whether or not it has to be paid.
Oh, do you think that's still appropriate given how easy it is to vote before now?
I don't know.
I mean, I'd still...
You could argue it's not.
Well, I would still do it, but
I still vote on the day of.
I do, too.
I don't know why. I always do.
John, in Illinois, when they raised the rate to $10... Illinois, in Chicago. And I said, okay, we're going to look at Matty Weber. All of a sudden, he's going to get his butt off the sofa. He's going to go get a job at $10 an hour. By the way, he needs a car. Now, if he goes out and say you loan him $5,000 for the new car, and that would be new to him at $5,000, and he buys a jalopy, pays for his own insurance and his own cash, just the license, the title, the city sticker, the parking pass in front of his house, all that stuff is going to eat up his first 66 hours of work. And it doesn't even include the car, the gas, or the insurance. I mean, it is amazingly... God help him. If he's got to park somewhere and pay $20 a day to park, he might as well not work. Or if he's in our neighborhood and there's a factory near us, and somehow or another you're 2 minutes late and in the parking lot Nazi or the parking meter Nazi grabs you and gives you a $100 ticket, you just wasted your whole day. For what? So the same city that thinks $10 is enough for you to work for per hour has no problem with a $125 ticket in front of a fire hydrant when there hasn't been a fire in a neighborhood in 40 years.
I know.
You know.
And yesterday there was a traffic jam at Halstead and Division. And so, of course, everyone is having to fire, you know, turn left and fly through the light, and the camera is just shooting off. And I'm guaranteeing now I'm going to get one of those freaking things in the mail that I ran a red light, when really you're just caught up with all the other cars turning after the light switched. So they'll get you on that.
Right, or you're going to get rear-ended.
Exactly. Or you're going to get shot from behind from people honking at you and trying to rear-end you if you don't go.
I mean, we have a situation here, John. I don't expect you to know the geography. The Chicago, there's not very many bridges across the river, okay? I mean, it seems like a lot, but considering the amount of traffic, there isn't. They've decided the Chicago Avenue Bridge is going to go down for 2 years. Now, I'm going to say that if you had people ready to go on day one, you could have cut that to 1 year. And I'm going to say that not one person has done, and they closed it 4 days ago, not one person has done a shred of work on it yet. But it is absolutely the north side, which was gridlocked to start with. I'm going to say that's why you're having a problem last night, Matty, without you even knowing
and,
that.
And
I did know
and
that,
let me
and
add
that
this,
is why.
They do it like they, I'm sure they're doing it like they do things out here. If you're going to shut down such a main artery like that, Tom, why wouldn't you do that work 24/7?
They don't.
They probably won't.
They don't.
Sure.
They're taking care less.
They don't, and sure. Yeah, they don't care. And to make it worse, they will actually they will have no issue shutting down three or four major arteries in the same area.
Right.
It's like there's no city planner.
Well, if tomorrow you wanted to run a marathon over the Division Street bridge, which is the logical alternate, they'll grant you a permit. They don't care. One person says, but if the North, I don't know, you weren't around, Maddie, when they put the North Avenue Bridge up, I don't believe. But they actually put a temporary bridge around it. So there never was a lack of traffic, because North Avenue Bridge is, you know, I don't know if you didn't have that one, I don't know what you'd do. But there's no real room at Chicago Avenue to do that. So it actually is going to take a year to put up the temporary bridge, and then another year to build the real bridge. Now, mind you, they built the Golden Gate Bridge in 3 years. And this thing...
this is going to take us, too.
It's going to take us, too. and the difference in the project, let's say, is... You know, I don't know what it would be. One is cutting your lawn, and one is mowing a golf course. I mean, basically, right?
Right. And I mean, and the Golden Gate Bridge will probably end up closer to budget than this one will.
But Golden Gate came in under budget.
Yeah. PJ Saluki writes in, when I was a young man, the banks and bars were closed on election day so that those wishing to buy a vote or two couldn't get money out of the bank or buy a prospective voter a beer.
Yeah, the bars used to be closed.
That's a good point. Right.
And I don't think that, I don't know when that ended, but. I don't know why the banks would be closed, but the bars I can understand.
They don't want
so you can't get the money.
Yeah, he doesn't want people taking money out and buying votes.
Ah.
Right.
Well, then you couldn't. In those days, people used to cash their check at the bar, so the bar was really kind of a bank, too. Well, when was the last time you saw that?
Then half of it would be gone before you got home on Friday night?
Well, you know who had the best deal going? I used to have been in Vegas in a while, but, John, did you ever go over to the Palace Station? It's kind of a local casino. I think it's still open.
Yeah.
Well, they had a deal that if you brought your paycheck in, if you cashed it there, they had this big wheel, and, you know, it had a slot on there where they would double your paycheck. Okay, and most guys, I talked to cab drivers and whatever, and said the odds were such that if every Friday you took your paycheck in there and spun the big wheel, and they would just cash your check. They didn't charge you anything, but you were in the door. He said you would end up doubling it like twice a year. It was like a one in 25 chance. So, but he said nobody got out of there without, you know, throwing $20 in a, you know, slot machine.
Right. That's obviously why they're doing it. Of course,
the guy when they built the Mirage, and this is going back a ways, but the Mirage was the first really huge resort out there built all at once. I mean, it wasn't the first, obviously. So you had the Flamingo, the Stardust, all those places. And even Caesar's Palace, but they were small. They made a bunch of dough, built a tower, made a bunch of dough, built another tower. Well, the Mirage was probably the first one built stem to stern before they opened the place. And everybody out there was just agag. It was the first place where the budget, the expenses, were $1 million a day, and everybody thought this guy was nuts. Well, up until that time, if you wanted to go to If you want to go see Dean Martin, you want to see Frank Sinatra, you can buy the tickets anywhere. But the Mirage said, and it ain't happening here. If you want to go see Siegfried and Roy, you're buying the tickets here, only in person. And they put the ticket place like right in the middle of this massive casino. And I was talking to a guy who worked in human resources. He said the average person who came in to buy the tickets, Maddie, was $27.50 they spent, either in a sandwich or throwing something in a slot machine or whatever. It was like the tickets being another $27, because nobody got all the way into the middle of the place and on the way out without buying a coffee or an ice cream or something. And you know, it all counts. So John, what do you have any words of wisdom here? The chalk is Democrats in the House by 5. They actually lose a seat in the Senate, so they're down 2. All hell's supposed to break loose in the market if they somehow win the Senate. And if they win the House, both, then we're going to have this big rally. I don't know if I'd buy that deal.
Nope. I don't buy it at all. I think it might be an issue for a few hours, but beyond that, Tom, I think it's a no issue. And college basketball, I think, starts tonight. So
I'll watch some of the returns, but I'll flip between some good college basketball games. You got Kentucky, Duke. So that's pretty good.
And Kansas, Michigan State.
When are we going to?
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah, so
are we going to see our gold up 10% someday, like we did natural gas this week?
Well, I think you're going to have a little. You could be a little sideways. I think for a little bit until some of these political things shake up, and then. And I think we might meander up a little bit more, Tom, but I think you're going to be more sideways now than anything.
Who's going to win the... You guys have a very contested Senate race for McCain's old seat. Yep. Who's going to win?
I can't stand either one of them.
God, it sounds like me with governor here.
Right. I voted for the independent, so there you have it.
But that sounds like what
I'm going
to do.
I'm everybody what I did, so there you go.
Oh, God. SP Futures down 5, Dow Futures down 39, Nasdaq Futures down 16. We're leaning south here a little bit, but we'll see. That could turn. Be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.